Well, I haven't built up to doing PowerPoint yet, and I didn't write all my verses down this time because I've got like 30. So if you want a copy of the lesson or any of the verses that I used tonight, I'm more than glad to give you a copy. Tonight I want to speak to you about a part of creation that is used throughout the scriptures in poetic and spiritual parallel. I want to speak to you about light, and more specifically how the spiritual representation of light relates to us. I want to start out by reading 1 John 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him no darkness at all. We read in Genesis 1, verse 3, if you want to go ahead and turn over there, that God created light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around the idea that God existed without light and created it without a physical light source to emit. In fact, God created the seas, the earth, and vegetation all before setting up light sources that we commonly refer to as the sun and stars, which can be read about later on in Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. It's hard for me to imagine because of how dependent we are on light. Without light, there would be no photosynthesis, and vegetation would die out. Without light, our eyes would be very useless. We would essentially be blind. Without sources of light, such as the sun, we wouldn't have seasons. Without light, humans are very much helpless. Throughout the scriptures, there are many parallels made to light in a spiritual context. A verse that directly comes to mind is over in John chapter 12, verse 46. This is where Jesus is talking and identifies himself as a light coming to the world. I have come a light to the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Earlier in the book of John, Jesus is identified as the true light. So if you will, go ahead and turn over to John chapter 1. It's a little bit longer reading. It's going to be verses 1 through 13. And this really drives the point home of Jesus being that true light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In verses 12 and 13, it is mentioned that those who receive and believe on Jesus. Lost my place. Believe on the light, become sons of God. Not children of flesh or blood, but spiritually of God. In verse 9, the true light lights every man that comes into the world. So let's go ahead and read that one more time. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Directly after this, in verse 10, it describes how Jesus, this true light, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. God has provided many deep spiritual parallels to our physical state with such imagery throughout the Bible. If you think about it, every human that has ever been born comes in contact with light. It's inescapable. It is not a choice that we make. Spiritually, as in John 1, verse 9, every human that has ever been born comes in contact with Christ. Even if they don't hear his name or read the Bible, they have come in contact with him in his life just by being in this world, because he was the one that the world was made by. So before going further, I want to look at some scriptures concerning the nature of the spiritual life. And a lot of this is from Psalms, because Psalms and David, he writes about light in more of a poetic sense. In Psalms 43 and verse 3, you can turn over there if you'd like. God's light and God's truth are equated to each other. O send out thy light and thy truth, Let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. In Psalms 119, verse 130, the Lord's words are described as giving light, which is equated to understanding. The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. And then in Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, light is equated to the Lord's glory. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Keeping these passages in mind, let's go ahead and turn over to John 3, verses 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In verse 19, Jesus explains how the light has come into the world, and in verses 20 and 21, he explains how those that do evil hate the light, and those who do truth come to the light. Verse 17 beforehand states that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. However, if you think about it, if light is simply defined as something that guides you to truth, and you decide that you're going to close your eyes and not accept light, then you are refusing to even see the light, and you essentially refuse that truth. So, ignorance leads to the self-condemnation. The implications for not believing are very clear, and the physical parallel is deep. If those who are evil hate the light, you would think that they would get as far from it as possible and have nothing to do with it, right? Those who do evil hate the light, especially when it comes to performing sinful physical deeds, such as noted in Job 24, chapter 24, because light would expose their sinful deeds that they perform in the safety of darkness. However, let's read an excerpt from 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 through 15. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. When it comes to spiritual deception, even Satan himself will be transformed into an angel of light. To human standards, someone spreading spiritual deception may look as pure as possible and get as close as they can to looking light or truth so that they can actually deceive. However, their end shall be according to their works, as mentioned at the end of verse 15 in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So we need to make sure that we're examining others' works and comparing them to what we find in the scriptures to be truth and right, to make sure that we are not deceived ourselves. Now that we have defined this spiritual light's characteristics and seen how it defines truth, good, and evil, we can look more closely at how it affects us. We have seen the light represent truth. It characterizes understanding in the Lord's glory. Jesus also used this light to identify his disciples and followers, though, over in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In this sense, we are imitating Christ and displaying that same light before men by doing good works. I imagine it as if I were a mirror, reflecting the very light that the Father and Jesus shine down on us from heaven by spreading gospel and doing good works. Think of the parallels this creates with verses such as 2 Corinthians 4, verses 4 through 6. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Also, we are to be children of light in the Lord, just as Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 11 states. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light from in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Later on, after Jesus identifies his disciples and followers as being light, he makes a profound statement about the character of man. And if you will, this is a little bit longer of a week reading as well, go ahead and turn over with me over to Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. This specifically is talking about a concept that defines what makes somebody a true follower of Jesus Christ. To get the context entirely, though, in verses 17 and 19 before our reading, Jesus points out that some hypocrites were fasting, and they were making their countenance sad and in a pitiful state so that they would receive, they would be seen of men and receive glory of men. However, Jesus said that if you were fasting, being a disciple, to anoint yourself and wash your face so that you don't appear to be fasting unto men. That way God in heaven can reward you openly, who sees such a thing in secret. In Matthew 16, or 6, verses 19 through 24, this concept is driven out even more. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The light of the body is the eye. Light enters the body literally and physically through the eye. It is how we perceive things around us. In verse 22, if we allow our entire focus of our eye to be on things that are whole and truth and light, our body in their entirety will be full of light. The basic function of the eye is performed as it was designed for. However, in verse 23, if we allow our focus of our eye to be on evil, then our body in the entirety of our body will be full of darkness. Furthermore, if we allow that light or truth that is entering into our body to even mix with darkness or evil, we are causing the light in us to be darkness, very great darkness. So our eye and concept may allow us to take in both truth, our light, and evil, our darkness. But inwardly, if we mix those two together, we would be full of darkness, or completely blind to the truth, because we focused on evil even in part. We cannot serve two masters. This concept is actually found all throughout the scriptures, but I usually think of it in some more similar messages that we usually hear, such as found in Matthew 13, verse 13, where it says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither they understand. Kind of the same principle. We should all be striving to be fully committed to Christ in such a way that we reflect his image and can shine our light before men by teaching and with good works. We need to remember that we cannot serve two masters. We need to remember that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Also, we need to know and focus on the eternal life that can only be gained by following Christ Jesus, the true light. To follow Jesus in his light, we have to walk in the light and in the truth so that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse our sins. 1 John 1 verse 7 states the following, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Also, we need to constantly and vigilantly be looking and watching for Jesus' return so that we are ready for Him, as is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 through 6. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Finally, let's turn over to Revelation 21, verses 23 through 27. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Talking about heaven. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but that which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be able to enter into a city which is lit by God's glory, completely pure, holy, and undefiled. Do you want to have your name written in the Book of Life? If so, you have need to respond to the gospel and be saved through the blood of Christ, and walk in light, in fellowship with those who are called out of darkness. Please come forward together as we together stand and sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday a record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Sadly you'll stand if you're unprepared, trembling you'll fall on your knees, facing the sentence of life or of death. What will that sentence be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Soul spotless and free, washed in the blood of the crucified one, He will your answer be. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be?